Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, game day. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast and Super Talk Eagle Hour radio show. We're glad you're with us. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon, Luke Johnson. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel on a beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue, proud supporters of Southern Miss and proud supporters of the Southern Miss Athletic Department, and a great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Okay, guys, Texas State in town. Weather forecast not good tomorrow, Dima. We're possibly looking at a doubleheader Saturday. We don't know that for sure, but 6 o'clock tonight. How do you get your feet back on the ground and get back to earth after Tuesday night?
Well, they better not be too sleepy tonight, I'll tell you that right now, because this Texas State ball club, as we've talked about on Omnium on this show, so this week, you know they're coming in here, they're fighting for a Sun Belt spot in the tournament next week. This is no pushover team. As we mentioned before, they were, you know, ranked or preseason ranked number twos. Not preseason rankings aren't everything, but it definitely shows the talent they are. And as we discussed yesterday, they took a series against Troy. Good baseball club, and Southern Miss better be ready to play tonight, because some people can view these as kind of one of those trap games after a big emotional win on Tuesday night. Very quick turnaround, weird Thursday night game. We don't have a lot of those, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Trap game, Luke Johnson?
It's a trap series, I think. We'll talk to Brent Freeman in the third segment today from Texas State. He's their ESPN Plus guy, and I'm interested to ask Brent why they have underachieved, because you look at in spurts where they have played. I mentioned yesterday victories over Texas. They beat App State. They beat JMU. And then I want to ask him what happened, what clicked for Texas State last week, because guys going into last week, Troy was the hottest team in the Sun Belt other than the Eagles. And they blanked Troy on Friday, lost a close one on Saturday, 5-3, and then won the Sunday game in extra innings. They're going to throw Cameron Bush tonight, a 6'2", 198-pound right-hander. And if there's one thing that I would say favors the Eagles, is that Texas State is going to throw a righty tonight and tomorrow. Both teams, TBA, on Saturday. If the game gets pushed, to your point, Bob, we'll see that second righty on Saturday. But that, no lefty so far in the rotation for Texas State.
All right, important game for the Golden Eagles, but for a few kids on the team, it's the last time perhaps they'll ever play at Pete Taylor Park. And one of those is the great Slade Wilkes, who currently has a 25-game hitting streak. If he can hit tonight, it'll be 26, obviously, and he would pass the great Cameron Brunty, who for fifth place all time, who also had a 25-game hitting streak in 2009. I asked Slade yesterday about his thoughts his last weekend at the Pete. All right, Slade Wilkes, a.k.a. the Bunker Hill Bomber. Do people still call you that?
I think they do sometimes.
Yeah. All right, Slade, when you're hitting the ball like you're hitting it right now, describe what you're seeing when you come up to the plate. How is that different in times that maybe you're struggling a little bit?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me right now is just kind of buying into approach every AB and just you know, constantly getting my swing off on you know, pitches that I can handle, and you know, trying to lay off the pitcher's pitches.
All right, we hear baseball players say the ball can look like a BB or the ball can look like a beach ball. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, sir. You know, there's definitely points throughout you know, season, career, whatever, you know, the ball looks bigger than the others. And I think that's just, you know, kind of when the ball looks bigger, it's just, you know, being able to slow the game down as a hitter and just trust the process and all the work that you put in.
Yeah. You're hitting line drives, you're hitting base hits, you're blasting balls out of the ballpark like you did up at Arkansas State. Is there a different swing, or is it just maybe a better connection, get a fatter part of the bat on the ball?
You know, it's just, you know, all about the contact point as far as, you know, whether you're hitting, you know, a line drive or a, you know, able to hit the ball more out front and get in there and backspin it for a home run. But, you know, kind of for me, I'm looking to, you know, just hit a line drive every time. And, you know, that kind of helps keep me in sync and helps keep me in rhythm.
You could have left last year. You could have been drafted. You chose to come back. Talk to me about your career here and what this time has meant for you at Southern Miss.
Yes, sir, no doubt. You know, the past 4 years, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, I dreamed of this ever since I was a kid, and, you know, I've loved every moment of it. I'm just extremely, I guess the word is, you know, grateful that I got to play at a university like this. And, you know, one thing that, you know, it's just awesome for me is, you know, the fans we have each and every game. And just, you know, with it being, you know, me being from Columbia, 30 minutes from the house, you know, on any given day, you know, a lot of my family slash friends can make it.
You've been around a while, but when you observe some of these new players and they get in front of crowds like what we saw here last night, we often see here, is it take them a little while to maybe adjust to that?
You know, it's definitely, you know, for new guys who aren't used to those type of crowds, you know, the game can get a little fast on. But, you know, I think we've seen all year, you know, some of our, you know, guys that, you know, maybe not have played in front of those crowds, you know, that you can tell the game's getting slower for them. They're getting used to it. And you can just tell their comfort level is getting, you know, a lot more each and every day.
All right, you got a pretty tough opponent coming in here this weekend. Then you have the tournament. Your thoughts, the mindset you think of the baseball team as you approach this last weekend headed into the postseason?
Oh, yes, sir, no doubt. You know, Texas State's coming in. You know, they're a talented club, always are. And, you know, we're going to play good baseball just like we've done for the past 2 weeks if we want to, you know, just keep doing what we've been doing. And, you know, as far as moving into the conference tournament, you know, really right now, you know, I think our biggest thing is just winning one game at a time and focusing on one game and letting everything else take care of itself.
Well, I have to ask you this before I let you go. This is going to be your last weekend probably at Pete Taylor Park. Are you beginning to think about that? How are you going to feel when the weekend gets here?
You know, all year, it's kind of in the back of my mind, try to throw it back or just, you know, not think about it, I guess would be the term. But, you know, it's starting, past few days, it's starting to think about it. You know, it could be my last opportunity to play here. And, you know, I'm just trying to go out and have as much fun as possible and enjoy being with my teammates and brothers and just really enjoy it.
Will it be a little bittersweet for you, you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure there will be a tear or two, but, you know, I've loved every second of it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Run the table, you may be planning a regional here.
Hey, that's the goal. You know, we, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were kind of, you know, in no man's land. We were like, you know, everything we want is still right in front of us, and, you know, that option still is there too.
It's been a joy watching you, young man. We're real proud of you here.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, Luke, after that interview, I challenged Slay to an arm wrestling exhibition. He wanted no part of me. Does that surprise you?
He was respecting his elders. That's what he was doing. He has, in this 25-game hit streak, Jack put this out yesterday. I didn't realize he's hitting 380. I mean, he is in McIntyre territory over the last 25 games. You mentioned, you know, going now tied with Brunty. Ozzie also, in his 10-game hitting streak, he's hitting .511.
Well,
in the last 10 games.
That's great. That's great.
Both of those guys, the key was when they figured out the top of the order. Now Wilkes has stayed in that three hole. But, you know, it was a lot of fluidity until it solidified. I think what you've said, you know, since he was put there, was that McIntyre is the – wasn't he ninth to start the season?
Ozzie ever hit ninth again.
Ozzie floated up and down, and then, you know, Dima, when Ozzie found that two-hole, it's just hard for people. Now, Gillespie bringing protection to Slade. I mean, you look at – and what Tuna's doing in the five-hole, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better one through five right now.
Dima, when it's all said and done and the dust settles, we're going to look back at Slade Wilkes and we're going to put him in that Waldner-type category almost as a hitter.
No doubt. I mean, just kind of what he said, it's been a long time here at Southern Miss, and I think when they recruited him, everybody knew the player that they were getting from his hometown in Columbia and what he did there and then coming to Southern Miss and what he's done as a player here. And I talk about it all the time when you talk about baseball players. It's not even what they do just on the field. It's what they do off the field. And, you know, I probably bring a unique aspect to this because I see Slade Wilkes off the field a lot. And I see him bringing players to my home church for Wednesday night church, and he brings the baseball team to church. There's just certain elements about him that cause him to be that captain leader that he is. And Southern Miss is really going to miss that voice, no doubt. And I really think that Slade could really have a good weekend this weekend. I think kind of mirroring what Danny Lynch did to Louisiana last season in this senior weekend. And you know, I'm just saying that Slade Wilks is the epitome of Southern Miss baseball, and the fact that it's not even just what he does on the field, it's his character and his personality off the field as well.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's good.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Bob, the reason why Slade wasn't going to take you on is that word on the street was Danny Lynch was going to be your hype man. And so Slade got a little... He backed up a little bit.
I saw Danny yesterday. They made him throw BP all day, and Danny was drenching wet when he got back in the locker
room. Was he talking smack while he was throwing?
You know,
BP?
He was quiet, man. I think he must have really been exhausted because he really wasn't. He wasn't saying a whole lot. All right, when we come back, what can you say about Kobe Allen? I mean, he's been a flamethrower. We're going to hear from him. Get Dima's thoughts on. Is it fair to say he's the closer now, Dima?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, Kobe Allen next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air Thursday afternoon. An odd to say game day, but we're about, 4.5 hours away from first pitch at the P, Texas State in town. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the show. I was there just yesterday buying my wife some Southern Miss apparel, and man, they're just stocked to the brim. Check them out. Great apparel at Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Want to say hello to our friends at Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted cleaners, family owned and operated since 1983. Conveniently located on across from USM on Hardy Street, you can always call Town & Country Cleaners, 601-264-4920. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, tune in. You can hear it anytime or just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Well, nobody's made a better impression, I don't think, on Southern Miss fans this year, guys, than Kobe Allen. And I think he's definitely established himself as the closer for the Golden Eagles. I heard people calling for him the other night, and sure enough, he comes through and delivers. Had a chance to visit with him yesterday after practice in the locker room, and here is young Kobe Allen. Kobe Allen on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Kobe, clearly, you've established yourself now as the shutdown reliever. Tell us about your journey from where you started to where you are right now.
Nothing's much changed. I've always gone out there and kind of done the same thing. My velo's ticked up a little bit. That's helped a lot, you know. But I'd say mindset, I know I'm only going to probably get two innings majority of the time. So I kind of, instead of maybe saving a little bit, I kind of go right at them and say, here, I got two innings, however long it's going to take. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do whatever I can.
Have you always been a relief pitcher throughout your high school and college career, or is this relatively new?
High school is pretty much, I was the same role, closing. I didn't pitch a lot in high school, but it's nothing different, really. I've been in relief pretty much since I've been here. I've been in relief since I've been here, so nothing is new.
All right, you just said something interesting. I didn't pitch much in high school. How do you not pitch much in high school and then pitch it at this level the way you're pitching?
Well, I was going to catch at Northwest Community College, and then I threw like 13 innings in high school, didn't throw a whole lot. Came here, Coach I saw me at a camp, and I think having two older brothers and playing football growing up kind of created a mindset of like, hey, I'm going to be pretty tough. I'm not going to let somebody just pick on me all the time, and I think Coach Oz kind of saw that, and that's kind of the mindset I take out there is I'm not going to let you beat me. You know, I'm going to attack you and go right at you. So
interesting you say you played high school football. I've never talked to Coach Berry, coaches from other teams, Coach Oz. Everyone has told me the same thing. I want a kid here that played football in high school.
I said it teaches you toughness. You know, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down in football. You're going to face somebody that's a lot bigger and stronger than you are, and they're going to hit you pretty hard, and that's going to make you either you're going to want to get up and go right back at them again, or you're going to want to stay down and get out of there, you know. That teaches some toughness. You play football, I tell kids all the time back in high school, they're like, oh, I want to just play baseball. I was like, guys, man, just baseball is not going to do it for you. You got to go find something different. It's going to teach you some toughness. You know, mental toughness is a big thing, and if you don't have the mental side of the game, it's going to kill you. It really is.
You got to be mentally tough to be the closer because you come in and you're being asked to save a game that other guys have played 7-8 innings to get to that point. Does that add pressure?
No, sir. I keep it the same way if I'm starting or if I'm middle relief. You know, if you try to make it too big, then it's gonna mess with your mind. You know, you got to try to stay even keel with it.
All right. Mindset last night. What's going on in your mind when they call you out there to close down Ole Miss?
Oh, man, my freaking adrenaline was pumping. You know, freaking Pete's packed out. Everybody's loud. You know, it was a big game. It was. But I kept it the same mindset. I wasn't going to try to be like, oh, it's Ole Miss. Oh, we got to win. No, it's just I'm going to go out there and tack, fill the zone up, and whatever happens, happens.
I was a big believer in strikes. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Huge, huge. You can throw strikes, you're going to pitch.
What happens if you start walking people?
That's not a good thing. You better start figuring it out. But no, man, it's you start throwing strikes. That's the big thing. And the hitters get out 3 times out of 10, you know, and they got 300 batting average. They're going to get out 7 times. So, I mean, you fill it up, they're going to mess up just like we're going to mess up. So they're going to mess up more than we are. So you throw it over the plate and whatever happens, happens.
For kids that are playing baseball, high school, junior college, aspire perhaps to play here, what do you tell them about pitching at Pete Taylor Park when it is as electric as it was when Ole Miss was in town?
Oh, man, it's fun. It's awesome. I tell you, I think my velo was up last night. It gives you some confidence. It really does. You get out there and everybody's stomping their feet, and, man, it's unreal. It's unreal. You can't even feel yourself out there. It's just like you're just throwing nothing. You can't even feel nothing. That's how it felt last night. It's awesome.
All right, weekend series to wrap up the regular season. I think it'll be a pretty tough, competitive team coming in here. You got the conference tournament next week. We'll be there all week covering you guys. Your mindset, Colby Allen's mindset, the mindset of the Golden Eagles as you approach, first of all, Texas State and then the tournament.
Take it one game at a time. That's always what we preach from the start of the year to now. It's one game at a time, Texas State. They've been struggling a little bit, but they're starting to pick it up. We've known all year and last year. And I think the year before they were conference champs or something like that. But, man, they're talented. They really are. They're just as good as we are, you know. They got just enough talent as we do. We got to take it one game at a time. It's not going to be a pushover. And the same thing with conference tourney. I mean, y'all have seen it. Sun Belt, our conference is tough. It's tough, you know. You got to take it one game at a time, one pitch at a time. Because if you slack up, you're going to get punched in the mouth.
Here's one thing I saw after the Ole Miss game, which I found interesting. You know, there's a lot of friction in the stands between the fans, but I saw a lot of you guys hugging each other, talking after the game. I'm assuming that a lot of y'all know one another, respect one another, and when you're not playing against each other, you pull for one another.
That's right. That's right. We've all – I mean, during BP, we were all talking to each other. You know, a lot of us grew up playing together. I grew up playing with 3 or 4 of those guys, you know. I mean, it's your family, but once that game starts, it's kind of like, oh, I'm about to beat you. I'm not going to let you come in here and beat me at my home field, you know. But, no, after that game's over, it's fun to get to see your buddies and talk to them and everything.
And how much of that was on y'all's minds last night? You're not coming to the Pete again and beating us.
That's it. You're not. I said it in, like, the second or third inning when they jumped out. I said, boys, it doesn't matter. They're not going to beat us at our home field. They're not going to beat us at the Pete. You know, in front of this crowd, they're not going to beat us. We're not going to let that happen. That doesn't happen here.
Well, Colby, congratulations, man. You're having a great year. It's a pleasure watching you pitch, and people are going to keep going, warm up Colby. You don't mind that, huh?
No, sir. I love getting out there. I love going to compete.
All right, my man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Dima, I saw a smile come on your face when you heard Colby Allen say bad things happen when you start throwing balls.
Yeah, and he doesn't do a lot of it. I think only one walk in the past 7 games for him, so he's definitely not on that aspect of the – where you don't want to be with Ostrander. But I did think it was interesting how he commented that he closed in high school. I didn't realize that he has experience as a closer, not obviously at the level of what he's doing now. But that was an interesting piece of that interview that I didn't know about.
Yep. Are you a little surprised and I've heard other people express this, at how quick Oz will pull the rope if you start walking people?
I'm not. I mean, that's just who Oz is. He's very competitive. And I mean, he talks about it all the time. You know, we can't give up freebies. That's what just kills you. That, you know, they saw that in the Louisiana Tech Sunday game when Louisiana Tech was just railing through that bullpen because they just were walking so many people. I don't even think Louisiana Tech had that many hits. It was just a walk, base hit, and then that's two runs, you know. So yeah. Oz can't stand that, and he's not going to let you stay out there long if you're walking people.
Been delightful this year, Luke, watching Colby Allen pitch. This is a really great kid, friendly, enthusiastic young man with a bright future, I think.
He's had five appearances since April the 30th. So over those five appearances in eight innings, he has given up two runs, only two runs, and his strikeout to walk ratio is 12-1.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I think closer what he said about it's the mindset of what you want in a closer. You heard what he said. He got amped up. His velocity went up. He was pumped up. He wasn't shy for the moment or backed up from the moment. And that's, you know, that's why McCarty English was such a loss, because he was the same mindset. Like, give me the ball. When the stakes are highest, I want the ball. And what Colby has done is, I think probably one of the gutsiest, you know, games he had was, you know, back against Louisiana, right? Which was six appearances ago. That Saturday when he came in, he gave up some runs, but dude, he slammed the door in the ninth. And that's what he's done. He's been really, really gutsy. But a 12-1 strikeout to walk ratio, that's what you want from a closer. Those two runs were given up against Coastal on May the 5th. He has not allowed a run the other four appearances since April 30th.
I wonder if he's going to change his walkout song to Timmy Trumpet's Narco. You know, maybe he'll come out to that.
Why can't we just play Rattlinbog twice when he comes out there?
Just two of them.
Only Ozzie Pratt would have that.
Yeah.
That's the character of the team this year, correct?
And if you ever want to know anything about Ozzie Pratt, just look at his shoes. Try to look at his shoes next time you see him, and that'll tell you everything about it you need to know.
Do you think when he says that, he's just like, you know, he like 3 seconds later, he's like, oh, I said that. Okay, fine. Yeah. Good, no problem.
You know,
it's just people make such a big deal out of it. It's like, dude, he's a college kid. Whatever, man. Be thankful for the intensity.
Colby Allen, Slade Wilks. Love talking to guys on the baseball team. We've still got an interview with Gabe Broaddus. We'll try to bring that to you tomorrow. Patrick McGee will be on tomorrow. Luke's excited about that. Saints schedule is out. And
Sean Payton coming back to the Superdome.
You knew they were going to do that, right?
Is he really?
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Texas State baseball with Brent Freeman. Hang on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Thursday, third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. I bet you will never guess where they're located. They're located on 4th Street in Hattiesburg, just across Highway 49.
Does that have anything to do with the name? I just curious.
Possibly.
I have no idea.
Just great lunch. Tomorrow is Bob Getty Fish Friday.
Correct.
Two thumbs up, correct, Bob?
Correct. I have three thumbs up.
Good stuff. Lunch comes.
I only have two, I'm sorry.
You only have two. Lunch comes with a drink. Our good buddy Slade White and his great crew over at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Luke, Bob, and Dima from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, because of the conference tournament in the Sun Belt next week, baseball moved up one day. And so we're getting ready for tonight's game, just a little over 4 hours away. Texas State comes to town, and who better to talk to us about the Bobcats? The voice of Texas State, Brant Freeman, no stranger to this show, been on several times. And, Brant, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Guys, always a pleasure. You know, as you said, I've been on the show before, and I think I had a chance to meet you and Bob at the conference tournament in Montgomery last year as well. So always a pleasure to chat with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, you did. And it's always fun being in Montgomery, meeting those guys. All right, kind of the overall question, you guys fighting for tournament life, Southern Miss not overlooking Texas State this weekend, knowing that this is a very, very hungry Bobcat team. But all of our question revolves around this, Brant. We look at the wins this year. We look at the series wins. You beat Texas 2 out of 3 across the season. You beat App State. You beat James Madison. And then, you know, you drop series to possibly teams that you should have beat. And then right at the last minute, here you come, and you knock off, along with Southern Miss, the hottest team in the Sun Belt in Troy. What's kind of been the reason for the up and down with the Bobcats?
Yeah, you know, it's been a myriad of reasons. It's certainly, you know, frustrating, you know, as you mentioned, where, you know, you play really good against, you know, some really good competition. You know, you referenced the series wins over, you know, Troy and Texas. Both teams right now, you know, are at the time in the top 25. You know, they played really well against quality competition, but then, you know, against some of the teams that are struggling in the Sun Belt, namely losing series to ULM, Marshall, and Arkansas State. You know, if the Bobcats don't qualify for the Sun Belt tournament, they're going to look back at those series and say that's where things got away. So, you know, inconsistencies, you know, between the lineup and pitching can certainly lead to a record like 500 hovering around that for most of the year. You know, some guys, you know, just struggling at the plate, you know, the guys that you were anticipating, you know, being really good coming into the year, just maybe not quite living up to expectations. But now, you know, but then they have stretches where, you know, they get going, but somebody else struggles. So it's kind of like plugging holes in a ship, right? You know, you plug a hole and another leak springs up. And like any other team too, you know, injuries as well. It's hard to get through a 56-game season without some injuries popping up. And you know, one of the key ones they've had to suffer through was to one of the top freshmen of the Sun Belt, and Ryan Farber. They were without him for 14 games. You're talking about close to a month out of action, and that certainly, you know, had an impact on how they played this season. You know, and also, again, trying to figure things out with the rotation. It's changed quite a bit from the start of the year to where they are now. So it's been a lot, you know, and I'll say this too. The quality of the Sun Belt, man, it's tough to navigate through this conference. I'm sure, as you know, Southern Miss fans have come to realize, this being their second year in the Sun Belt now. You look at a team like Coastal Carolina, you know, like they've been, you know, top 10 of the country at points this year, a very high RPI, you know, and there was a question mark going into last week and whether or not they would make the Sun Belt tournament. So, you know, all of those things have had an impact in the way things have gone for the Bobcats this year.
Dima?
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to ask you, what does Texas State need to do this weekend to make the tournament?
So, there's in terms of the actual scenarios and possibilities, there are a number of them. I will say, kind of trying to do some of the higher math, the easiest way for them to get in is sweep, which that's a really tall order, you know, to do that, you know, against a team like Southern Miss in Hattiesburg in that environment. A sweep to get them in the tournament, but you know, if you're kind of being a little more realistic, winning the series would go a long way as well. If they get swept, there's no way they can get in. I'll say that. And even if they take just a single game, it would be awfully tough for them to get in that way as well. I think that winning a single game would mean either Old Dominion or Georgia State would have to get swept, and they're playing each other. So basically, whoever wins tonight of that series, if you're a Bobcat fan, you're rooting for that team to go ahead and win the next two games as well. So that the series we're watching most closely is that one, Old Dominion and Georgia State. But they're in a position right now where every game feels like a tournament game. So they can't worry about what's happening, you know, between the Panthers and the Monarchs or any of the other series happening in the Sun Belt. South Alabama playing Louisiana, you know, that's the series they're watching as well. the only game back of the Jaguars, but in reality two, because South Alabama owns a tiebreaker. So it's going to be tough to, you know, make up two games with three to go. So they've got to come in and take care of business, you know, treat every game like the season is on the line this weekend, and, you know, and whatever happens with the outside happens kind of deal. But I will say that, like, you know, anything less than winning the series is going to put them in a really tough spot.
So, Brent, what do you see as you travel around the Sun Belt, do the play-by-play? What are the toughest environments within the conference to go play as a visiting team?
You know, what's funny about that, Bob, is that for the longest time, you know, having been the radio voice of the team, I would travel and go to a lot of these places. Since I made the transition to television a few years ago, I've been kind of supplanted in San Marcos. I don't get the chance as much to travel around. I've been to a number of the venues. I've watched, you know, a lot of the conference games, and you get a sense of how things go in the Sun Belt. And that's why I'm really disappointed I'm not in Hattiesburg this weekend, because, you know, by all accounts, it is one of the greatest environments, not just in the Sun Belt, but in the country. And with the way that you guys, you know, turn out over there, you know, in Hattiesburg, and the crowds and the environment that comes with Southern Miss baseball. From afar, I would say that Southern Miss has got one of the best environments, you know, in the nation. Some of the places I've been to in the Sun Belt, you know, Louisiana has great traditions there as well. Fans are very passionate about their baseball in Lafayette. They can be not only kind of a, you know, hostile crowd, but also hospitable there as well with, you know, with the Cajun cooking club that they have and all that. In Coastal Carolina is really going and having a really good, you know, season, which from, you know, that they have more often than not, you know, they turn out over there pretty well as well. But I'd say that, you know, Southern Miss and Louisiana, those are easily the top two in the Sun Belt for me.
Right. All right, what do you see, Brent, in terms of the number of Sun Belt teams that'll be playing regionals? The number I keep hearing is four. I've heard some people say five. Where are you on that?
Yeah, so, you know, Louisiana, Southern Miss, Troy feel like locks to me. After that, you know, I know JMU's got a pretty good RPI. Coastal Carolina has had a really high or low RPI, however your vantage point is of that number. They've had a good RPI. I'll simplify it by saying that. I would say they're probably in, although, you know, having, you know, kind of a sub-500 record in Sun Belt play, that's not going to really impress the committee, but we'll see kind of deal. I would say comfortably three. You know, I could see four. I think five would be a stretch, unless if somebody wins a tournament that's not, you know, those top three, you know, or four, throwing Coastal Carolina. If the Chanticleers, Golden Eagles, Cajuns, Trojans don't win the Sun Belt tournament, somebody else does, that's how you get to five. I'd have a hard time envisioning five teams, you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Coastal or James Madison to win it. Because Coastal doesn't have enough wins, and to your point, Troy, Southern Miss, and Louisiana could all possibly reach 40 wins during the course of the tournament. And if you got three 40-win teams, those are your locks. And if, you know, JMU or Coastal were to get there, five's too much for me, but I see the logic. Who do you think, though, on the outside probably has the best chance to get hot during the tournament?
Golly, you know.
Or is it just reflective of this league as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I mean, so you guys know this. When it comes to postseason play, it all comes down to pitching. You know, especially in these tournament formats, you know, where the deeper you go into a tournament, the more thin your pitching staffs are stretched. And you look at the ERA numbers in the Sun Belt this year, the pitching hasn't been all that great. You know, I mean, like, I don't know, that says more about the lack of pitching depth or just how good the hitting, the offenses are, you know, in the Sun Belt. So you have a really good offensive team. And there's some really great lineups out there. You know, Troy's I was really impressed with last week, even though the Bobcats won the series. But if you get a really hot lineup that can survive the first 2 days, then all of a sudden you got that lineup facing, you know, number three, number four, number five starters, you know, and that's how a team can, you know, sneak its way into the championship game potentially that maybe you didn't expect. You know, talking of Texas State here for a moment, a little bit, as much as they've been up and down this season, you know, if that order, 1 through 9, is locked in, they become pretty dangerous, you know. Yeah. And take the Troy series last weekend, for example. You know, offensively, they did some really good things, you know, against Troy. And, you know, one of the guys that is starting to get hot that we had big expectations for is Chase Moore. Had the walk-off home run, you know, on Sunday to win that series. You know, so this Bobcat team is one of many. I'm gonna say this. You know, 1 through 10, everybody's gonna be a tough out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brant, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Guys, looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
It's Brant Freeman from Texas State. We'll be back right after this on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Brant Freeman from Texas State joining us. Golden Eagles take on the Bobcats. More on that in just a few moments. This is going to be my new line. Hit like Ozzie Pratt. Hit like Slave Wilkes. Go see our friends at DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. 8 batting cages, instruction pro shop. Great training at DBAT in Hattiesburg. Luke, Bob, and Dima from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laura, where is Kelly Sander? Do we know?
He is down at Pearl River Community College. He is doing the PA announcing for the Pearl River Community College Regional Baseball Tournament.
There we go. There you go. Coach Avalon. Yep. They are really, really good. Hey, two new hires for Southern Miss this weekend. Brooks Donald Williams returns as the associate head coach for women's basketball. And we're going to work to get Joy Lee McNellis on in the next few days and talk more about that hire and just kind of, you know, women's basketball in general. If Brooks Donald Williams, if that name sounds familiar, she was the previous head coach at Louisiana Monroe, the new associate head coach for Lady Eagle women's basketball. Jeff Mason also hired as the associate athletic director for revenue generation. That is a important post in any athletic department. His first day is today, coming to Southern Miss from Central Missouri. All right, Golden Eagles, tonight, 6 p.m., tomorrow, 6 p.m., Saturday, 1 p.m., but just be watching tomorrow because of the weather, the possible weather shakeup. All right, current Sun Belt standings, and then we're going to do some picks. This will be Dima's first time to do picks.
It is.
Here we go. Louisiana at the top, 21-6, three games ahead of the Eagles at 18-9, who are in second place by themselves. Troy, a game and a half ahead of App State. Troy, 17-10. App State, this is where it gets interesting. You wonder if maybe that tie that App State had with Arkansas State is going to figure into tourney seeding, because App State is technically a half a game ahead of James Madison and Georgia Southern. Coastal and South Alabama and Old Dominion 13-14, and then Texas State and Georgia State 12-15. And so all of this could shake out basically from like the 11th team to the 4th team. There's only 3 games difference. So we might have some madness this weekend. All right, let's do some picks. Georgia Southern in Boone at Appalachian State. Lead it off, Dima. Who you got?
Well, actually, I was going to ask our previous guest about App State potentially being in the tournament, because they're sitting there at I think 31-17. Their RPI is kind of lower, but I feel like if they do some good work here, which I'll pick them to win this series, and some kind of work in the tournament, they're a bubble team that that Sun Belt could also have. I did see them in a predicted regional on Baseball America, so I'm going to take the Mountaineers to win the series.
All right, I always want to keep the App State coach's wife happy and in a good mood, so I'm going to pick App State.
I'll take App State. I mean, Georgia Southern kind of reeling after they got got swept last week by Louisiana. We all thought they would take at least one game. But, yeah, I'll take the Mountaineers in Boone. Archie State at ULM. I'll lead it off. I'll take the Fighting Federicos. They get kicked off at 4 o'clock today.
I'll take ULM.
That's the pillow fight of the weekend. Is that fair to say, Demo?
Yeah, the game that doesn't matter.
I'm gonna. I hope that Monroe can win the series for Coach Fed.
Coastal Carolina at Marshall in Huntington.
I'll take the Chanticleers.
Yeah, they're gonna go up there. They're gonna win 2 out of 3. I think
2 out of 3. Okay.
Very important matchup. Old Dominion at Georgia State. Balls will be leaving the ballpark.
I'm going to pick Old Dominion just because my cousin's husband is on the staff up there, and I just feel like I should be on the good
great
side.
Great research there, Demon.
This is why we brought him on the staff right here, people. This kind of research, yeah. I can't argue with you with that kind of research, Demon. I'm going to go with Old Dominion, too.
South Alabama at Louisiana.
I'm going to take Louisiana to sweep that series. I think they'll sweep it at home, especially for – it's going to be senior weekend for them as well, and they'll claim the regular season title and the one seed.
Yeah, I like the Cajuns to win the series. They'll come in, win some games in the tournament, and then the Golden Eagles will defeat them in the championship game.
I'll take the Cajuns 2 out of 3. Kind of the sleeper series of the week, James Madison at Troy. James Madison, if they get 2 out of 3 – on the road, that would continue to solidify their RPI, and with a run, you know, they're the kind of the outside team looking in for a berth. I'll take Troy, though, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I like Troy at home. I think it'll be a good series, though. I do think it'll get to a rubber match. But I guess that would be senior day for the Trojans, so I'd take the Trojans in that.
I like the Trojans. They're a good team. They played poorly last weekend. I look for them to bounce back and win the series.
Southern Miss hosting Texas State. Lead it off, Bob.
The Golden Eagles are going to sweep Texas State.
I will say 2 out of 3, and the only reason I say 2 out of 3 is because in the beginning of the season, my predicted regular season record for Southern Miss was 38-17. If Southern Miss were to sweep, that would be exactly right, and I just can't imagine that me being exactly right on something. So I'm going to say 2 out of 3.
Oh, have some confidence. I thought it was going to be the other way. You were going to pick them to lose so that your preseason prediction would come true. No. Yeah. They've got to take Texas State's heart tonight. Beat them pretty good tonight, and I think they'll sweep.
There we go. For the sweep. Dima, keep that research going like that. We were impressed.
My second cousin's aunt's neighbor. Good job.
Oh man! Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Wrap up the week. Patrick McGee with the Saints football schedule. Of course, we'll recap the game. Until then, Southern Miss.
Top. To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.